Good evening, and welcome back to BBS Radio's The Higher Dimension. I'm Phyllis Pricer, your hostess for the show. And we are a talk show, and we are talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, body, mind, and spirit. Tonight we have a really good guest on, a dear friend of mine, Jeannie Page. She's an intuitive, alternative natural health practitioner. She uses visual telepathy, body communication, iridology, and kinesiology. She's clairaudient, clairsentient, and clairvoyant. And she assists clients to form a plan of action for self-healing. She, like I, believe in a holistic approach to healing with body, mind, and spirit, and energy. She's been trained in the area of herbal nutritional supplements, aromatherapy, flower essences, crystals, and homeopathy, as well as emotional spiritual healing, Reiki energy balancing, angel messaging, and past life experience release therapy. Welcome to my show, Jeannie.
Hi, Phyllis. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you. She said, what do? Well, we talk. Which is very, very easy for us to do. I've known Jeannie about, 10, 11 years now, I guess.
Hasn't been that long. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, it's been about close to that. At any rate, I went to her first as a client, and she helped me through some really bad patches in life, and we've become friends since then, and she's a really special lady, I have to tell you that.
Well, thank you, Phyllis.
Among the things that Jeannie has done, not only for others, but for herself, is to work in healing her body of multiple sclerosis. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And a little bit about her background is she's one of five kids, and your father, if I remember, was ill with multiple sclerosis, and he did pass away from that disease. And then when Jeannie was, I guess, in your 30s?
I was 39 when I was diagnosed.
Right, she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. But, you know, this is your story, and for those readers who are listening, I want you to listen in and understand Jeannie is available to have appointments and sessions. So we'll give you some information to contact her later on the show, perhaps towards the end of the show. And don't forget that you can call in and you can ask questions and you can pose questions on any subjects relevant to the matter at hand. We don't do politics. We take questions about healing or share your own wonderful, unique stories about healing. But Jeannie, I'm going to let you take the floor now and I'm going to ask you to talk about what happened to you and your awakening, your spiritual awakening as well, and all that good stuff. Go ahead.
Thank you. Oh, geez, where to start? Back when I was about 39 years old, I'm 53 now, I started getting some symptoms that were annoying, to say the least. I had some numbness and tingling in my back, and so I figured, okay, the doctor probably wouldn't help in that very much, so I went to a chiropractor, and he had taken some x-rays, and he said, oh, goodness, Jeannie, your back looks like a West Virginia road, which means that it really wasn't the way it was supposed to be. Okay. rude awakening. You know, we just don't know these things.
That's right.
But anyway, so I started undergoing some treatment with the chiropractor, and it was interesting because the more that you kind of get yourself straightened out, things kind of moved and flowed, and I could tell that things were happening. Mm-hmm. But I was seeing him for probably almost a year before he, you know, my symptoms were not really going away. Things were changing, but they weren't really going away. And he looked at me one day, he says, you know, I really think you need to go to a doctor and have this checked out. There's something more going on here than we're being able to see and take care of. Mm-hmm. So that started my round of good old medical profession. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't diss the medical profession. They're great at diagnosis, and there's a time and a place for everything. But I don't even know exactly how long it took by the time the doctors were able to come up with, exactly what the diagnosis was. But I underwent all kinds of neurological testing and I don't even remember anymore everything that I had to go through.
I'll bet there were blood tests and...
One thing, thankfully, that I never had to do was a spinal tap. And
I've heard
horror stories on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I had several MRIs, and I don't even know the technical names for all the other testing that the neurological type people do and the rest of the doctors. But I underwent all kinds of testing. Anyway, they finally came up with a diagnosis of the multiple sclerosis. And I thought, oh, my God. You know, the only person I ever knew who had the disease, of course, was my dad. And, you know, my dad got sick when he was 51 years old. By age 56, he was dead.
Mm.
And it wasn't a pretty sight.
Yeah.
The last 3 years of his life, he was totally bedridden, really had no control over hardly any bodily function. We had to do everything for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mom nursed him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. His bed was pretty much in our dining room, so it wasn't like he was stuffed up in a small room somewhere that, you know, we could ignore. It was part of our everyday life, and it wasn't fun. He had no ability to swallow, so he was fed with a tube in his stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, is this where I'm going to go? It was scary. It was really, really scary. Anyway, I think at the time when I was 39, I have two daughters, two lovely daughters. The youngest was 5 at the time, and my oldest was 16. Now, the interesting thing about that was when I was about 16, 17 years old is when my dad got sick.
Mm-hmm.
And so all I could think about was, oh, my God, history is repeating itself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what was I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I really couldn't see me going the way my dad did. There was going to be nobody to take care of me.
Okay.
You know? I didn't have anybody. My mom was gone. You know, she couldn't nurse another person.
But what you're saying is you decided not to let the disease take over you and run your life.
Well, I flat out at the time didn't know what to do. I mean, all I knew was the medical side of things.
Of course.
And so, you know, I don't know about anybody else, but when I was diagnosed, I'm a perfectionist. I don't like to get sick.
Yes, I know you're a Capricorn. We have a tendency to be that way, don't we?
Yeah. You know, this was something I was almost ashamed of. Now, don't ask me why. I have no clue.
Well,
but it was, you're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're sick, you're not perfect. And, you know, it's like, tch, boy, that's not a good thing.
So,
but
so
anyway,
what happened then?
Pardon?
You talked to your sisters, I think. One of your
Well, it took me several months. And again, anybody who's diagnosed with something terrible, generally, from what I understand anyway, you know, I went into a 3-month depression.
Okay.
I'm not a depressed person. I mean,
being
depressed just is not my bag.
Well, no, it's understandable, though.
Pardon?
It's understandable. I mean, you're a human, and these emotions we go through.
Sure.
Denial, anger.
Oh, absolutely.
Depression, frustration.
And I went through gamut. I went through all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, I mean, even nobody in my family even knew that I had the disease, other than my husband and my kids at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's how, you know, I just didn't want anybody to know.
Mm-hmm.
And by that time, I had, you know, when you're going from doctor to doctor and you have a list of symptoms,
mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, one of the symptoms of MS is memory loss.
Okay.
And it's very entertaining when you go to a doctor and they say, okay, so what are your symptoms? And
can't
you can't remember.
Remember. Okay.
That's very embarrassing, to say the least. Anyway, so I figured, okay, the next doctor I go to, I'm going to be ready. So I sat down one night and I thought, okay, if I was going to feel good, if I was going to feel really healthy and good, I would not feel such and such. So I sat down and I wrote a list of all the things that I felt were not right.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned into a steno page and a half of symptoms.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Like all these things. And so the next doctor who had the audacity to ask me what my symptoms were, I, you know, flipped out my page of symptoms, and they thought I was a nutcase. But anyway, they took them into consideration, thankfully, and then came up with a diagnosis. But the thing was, you know, what do you do? You know, they kind of looked at me, and I looked at them, and they just pretty much said, okay, you live with it.
Live with it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, okay, if you get bad enough, if your exacerbations get bad enough, we can give you steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I didn't know much about anything at the time, but I knew that I didn't want to have to touch a steroid with a 10-foot pole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after a while, you just kind of, you be a vegetable after a while.
Yeah, your dad had gone through that.
Yeah. Well, actually, I don't know if he had steroids or not, tell you honestly. I don't know if they were using that treatment
mm-hmm.
back in the early 70s or not.
Mm-hmm.
He died in 1972.
Mm-hmm.
So I really couldn't tell you. But
you had seen him deteriorate, though.
Uh-huh.
He had, quote-unquote, lived with it.
Well, he didn't. That was the thing.
That was
you know, my experience is you don't live with it. You
exactly.
don't, you know, he only lived for 5 years with it.
So what happened one day?
Okay, so I thought, I need to tell somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So I broke down and told I called my younger sister. She lives down in Georgia. And I said, okay, this is what's happened. And she says, okay, so what do the doctors say? And I said, well, steroids if I get bad enough, otherwise I just live with it. And she says, well, you know, you can't do steroids. And I said, yeah, I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, I've got this friend that lives down here. And I go into her shop. She says, you know, I remember I have these allergy problems. And she was working as a forester at the time, so she was outside
mm-hmm.
a lot. And she had real bad allergies come in the spring and in the fall. And in order to keep going at her job, you know, she would go in the spring and the fall over to Judy's herb shop over in Central Alabama, as a matter of fact. And she said, I just go and get some herbs from Judy. And she says, I get through my allergy season just fine. She says, why don't you just come down and talk to Judy? And, you know, she may be able to help you, maybe not. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, herbs. Okay. I know nothing about herbs. What are these things other than, you know, the things that you use in your kitchen for cooking and spice and other stuff?
Didn't you do a lot of research, though?
Not beforehand.
Not beforehand. I mean,
not beforehand.
Okay. Before you went to the herbalist, you did not do research?
Nope.
Okay.
I hadn't a clue. You know,
okay.
I'm going into this blind.
Waiting for your awakening to happen.
Well,
okay, gotcha.
You know, well, I figured, okay, you know, my younger sister, I trust.
Okay.
And I figured, okay, I can go down and at least see what this lady has to say.
Uh-huh.
You know, the doctors say this, and that's my only choice at this point.
Right.
And I thought, okay, I'll go down and see what Judy has to say. And
we'll take
so
it
I drove
there.
Down there,
uh-huh.
and my sister made an appointment with her, and bless her heart, Judy spent 8 hours with us.
Wow.
My sister's name is Carrie, and all she did is she called Judy, she made an appointment, says, you know, my sister is sick, and we would like to come in and see if you can help her. I mean, we didn't tell her ahead of time
mm-hmm.
what it was that I had or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I go in there, and the first thing she does is reads my eyes. And I'm thinking, what in the world is this? And she says, well, it's iridology. And I'm like, okay, I'd never heard of that before in my life. And so she took a magnifying glass and a light, and she starts looking at my eyeball. I'm thinking, okay.
That's strange.
What are you doing, lady? you know, she kind of explained to me, she said, all right, you know, the nerve endings in the iris of the eye, well, they're all nerve endings, and via the central nervous system, they're connected to every single part of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I can look at your eye and see what parts of the body are in balance and what parts are not in balance.
Wow.
And pretty much what we do from there is, you know, see what part of your body is strong and then what part of your body is weak
mm-hmm.
is what we work at.
Okay.
And she said, you know, she talked to me about nutrition and,
mm-hmm.
you know, diet and things like that. And in talking, she pretty much was just bringing back up things that we learned in elementary school health class.
Ah. Okay.
And I thought, well, you know, this is excuse me, pardon the pun, this is very elementary. Duh, you know, kind of what you put into yourself is, you know, what your body has for fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we learn these things early on.
And then we forget about them.
Exactly. You know, your body needs certain nutrients in order to work properly. Amen, glory, hallelujah. That's the way we are.
Right.
And if you're not getting proper nutrition, the body is going to work for you at all times. It is going to do the darndest it can to keep some semblance of a balance and keep you going. But if over a long period of time you are not giving it the proper fuel, it is going to start breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like your car.
Right.
You know, if you don't change the oil, you don't put the proper fuel in it. I mean, like if you put soda in your gas tank and you would really expect your car to go down the road, I'm sorry, it isn't going to do it.
No. What we were finding is you hadn't been treating your body with great deal of love and kindness.
No, I hadn't, you know. And, you know, you don't think about that.
Right.
You know, you're just doing your everyday life. You got your kids. You got to raise your kids. And, you know, sometimes you're working and sometimes you're not. And
sometimes you're caught up in the whole drama of
life
itself.
Exactly. You know, you're just doing your daily thing. You know, get up.
So then what happened? She's talking about iridology. So what did she find out?
She's reading my eyes. And, I mean, again, we didn't tell her what all was going on. And she's asking me questions, you know, as she's going around. And it was amazing because she was asking me things or you know, she said, this is what I see. And it was like right on. I mean, she was reading me like a book.
Wow.
And I thought, holy cow.
Okay.
You know, there is something to this. And then when she got to the long portion of the eye, body is mapped out in in the eye. And when she got to the lung area in the eye, she said, did you ever have pneumonia? And I was floored. It's like, what? Yeah, did you ever have pneumonia? And I said, well, yes, I almost died from pneumonia when I was 4 years old.
Four?
I said, yeah.
Wow.
Said, and how did you know that? And she says, well, part of it is an educated guess, but you've got this healing lesion in the lung part of your eye, and it's rather huge. So I knew that it had to be something very serious, and pneumonia is very serious.
Uh-huh.
And she says, but it was a healed lesion. And so in that way, I knew that there was something, you know, that had happened to you at some point in time in your life of real great importance in having to deal with the lungs.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, okay, that was pretty much the clincher, I think,
that
started me thinking, you know, there's got to be something to this.
Uh-huh.
This is, you know, I can't diagnose anything by looking at your eye. All I can see is, you know, that you've got some digestive problems, you've got some nervous system problems, you've got some immune system problems, you have some respiratory problems and various, you know, things that I knew and certain things that I didn't know going on in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, all this does is gives me a place to start from. And she says, do you mind telling me what disease, you know, you've been diagnosed with? And I said, at this point, you know, no, you know, you pretty much hit it anyway, even if you don't know the name of it.
Uh-huh.
I said, I have multiple sclerosis, which is an autoimmune disease. And it's where the immune system starts attacking the nervous system.
Uh-huh.
And so neither one of them are functioning properly.
Uh-huh.
And she said, well, you know, I've never helped anybody with MS before, but we can try this. And she said, you know, if it's the immune system, your digestion, and your nervous system that are not functioning properly, you know, we've been taught that if you start feeding the body what it needs, it can start taking care of itself.
Okay, it'll start the healing process.
Exactly. So I thought, okay, you know, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very logical, practical person.
Right.
If things make sense to me, then I'm more apt to be open to it. If it doesn't, you know, you can talk to me until you're blue in the face and I just can't pay attention. But this made a whole lot of sense. And I thought, okay, I have several options here. I can try it and maybe something will happen. I can try it and nothing will happen.
Uh-huh.
And or I could try it and it'll kill me. I figure if I'm dead, I really won't care anymore.
I don't think that was really part of the treatment plan.
Well, no, but you know.
That was not part of the treatment plan. Okay. Not the result you were looking for anyway.
Well, no, but I figure, you know, it's something and it made sense. You know, the herbs, have healing properties. They have nutritional value.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, and she talked to me about herbs. And you know, again, it made sense. And they have been in the healing world for eons.
Well,
before medicine was ever discovered.
Well, actually, medicine probably came from the healing herbs. But
well, they
okay.
did. It does. But what they do in medicine a lot of times is
right.
they just extract a chemical or a couple chemicals
exactly.
out of the whole.
Right.
And the problem with that is a lot of times a person has side effects that are,
yes.
you know, probably sometimes worse than the problem in itself.
Well, also, too, a lot of medications, as I understand it, not being a scientist, of course, is that a lot of medications are synthetic in origin. In other words, they're not from the natural organic, which means that inherently there may be problems with the medication that's given because it isn't from the natural world.
And that could be.
But,
and, along with you, I'm not a scientist either, so I don't know all the, you know,
and also
the total
sometimes
background.
Extracting stuff from the original may, it takes something, the reason it's there anyway is because it's in a balanced whole.
Right.
Taking it apart may be taking away some of the total value of what it is.
Correct.
Okay. So having included we are not really great scientists. Biologists or you know.
So anybody out there who is a scientist, we can't argue with you.
No. We can just tell you what makes sense and what brought about a healing. So
exactly.
The bottom line is you started following her advice. Is that right?
I started
what?
Following her advice.
For
and,
what?
You know, the other thing that she yes. talked about was colon cleansing.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, you know, I was a vegetarian at the time. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about natural healing, folks,
mm-hmm.
you get down and dirty. I mean, if you're not moving your bowels regularly, you've got a problem. Thing is, being a vegetarian, most of the time you move your bowels quite a lot. I mm-hmm. mean, there's not a whole lot to clog you up with
right.
a vegetable. So, you know, I said, you know, Judy, I move my bowels
mm-hmm.
at least 3 to 5 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And she just kind of looked at me and she says, ha, 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 just you watch. One of the things that she did put me on was a colon cleanse. It was a liquid. It was several liquids that you mixed together with apple juice. And then you chase it with a Cascara Sagrada capsule.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, just trust me on this, Jean.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, but be careful because you are going to move your bowels a lot more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
So I was when I was down there, I was spending, you know, my time with my sister and, you know, living at her house
mm-hmm.
at the time. And now my sister Carrie has always been into the more natural things.
Mm-hmm.
And one of her favorite subjects, and pardon the language, one of her favorite subjects has always been shit. I mean, even in college, when she was
uh-huh.
in college, you know,
oh,
people
okay.
would come up to her after,
in
way
a,
afterwards, and say,
hey,
Carrie, is your favorite subject still, you know, blank?
Okay, elimination factors. Okay.
Yeah.
let's
when
sure.
she, when I was going on this cleanse,
mm-hmm.
she says, oh, well, that sounds really cool. I want to do it too. You know, the sisterly thing, the sisterly bond, you know.
Oh, that's funny. It's a good thing you didn't have a lot more sisters around at the time.
Exactly. And it was a good thing they had 2 bathrooms in their house. Because we came
home and
we
sat. The occupied sign was out, right?
Pardon?
The occupied sound was fine without.
We came home, started the cleanse,
uh-huh.
and within 12 hours,
mm-hmm.
well, you can really, really tell a difference. I mean, it got to the point where, you know, all of a sudden you just kind of sit up and say, oh, my God, and then you run.
Yes.
I mean, and her husband at the mm-hmm. time was just, he was rolling. And, you know, because all of a sudden we'd both run, and he'd just crack up. Brown alert, brown alert. Another thing I learned about
yeah.
natural healing is you have to really have a good sense of humor.
Well, apparently.
And a lot of underwear.
And you got to be fast on your feet.
Yeah. Now, it's not always that, you know,
that.
Dramatic, you know, so don't let me scare anybody.
Well,
it really is not.
Talk to you about the diet. Now, you were almost a vegetarian, complete vegetarian at the time. What did she suggest with regard to nutrition? And
there were several foods. She did a health survey for
mm-hmm.
me, and she says, okay, so what are you eating for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? And so she went over the various foods, and she said, now, I'm going to make some suggestions here. Mm-hmm. Because what I'm seeing is that you're eating an awful lot of cheese, which is not only mucus forming in the whole respiratory and digestive tract, but there's also a bacteria content in there.
Right.
And she said, what I'm also seeing is that you might, and she says, here I'm not a doctor, can't diagnose this, but you might have intestinal yeast problems.
Oh, candida.
Mm-hmm, candida.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a survey or this questionnaire that says, okay, it asked you about, 25, 30 questions.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how many you answer yes or no to, more than likely you have, you know, these are symptoms of candida.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether you want to say I failed or failed or passed the test, but
well,
it was pretty much indicative.
You put in down a lot of yes answers.
Yeah, it was pretty indicative that there was some yeast infection going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, these are the foods that are going to promote that. And if you eat these foods, this is going to help you overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably one of the things that we need to work on is getting rid of this, because some of your symptoms are also very similar to yeast problems.
Right, exactly.
So,
you know,
not saying that all your problem is yeast problems, because that's not true.
But it's contributory, perhaps.
But it's contributory,
yeah.
Or it can be.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely did have to do some diet changing, you know, cutting out a lot of the yeast breads, anything with yeast in it,
right.
Which is pretty much almost all bread.
Right, except something, yeah.
Yeah, there's a few that are made without yeast,
mm-hmm.
but not a whole lot. But anything that's sweet, any sugary type food, and that includes, unfortunately, fresh fruit, too, or fruit, period, because it turns to sugar in the stomach. And so sugar of any sort kind of promotes the problem. Plus, the sugar is also going to cause inflammation, and inflammation was kind of messing with the nerves and the muscles and things like that, too. It's very inflammatory
along
the nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure how to explain that right, but there's a lot of inflammation going on.
Right.
It's okay, we need to cut down things that are going to, you know, flare the inflammation up too. So, you know, cutting out the cheese, the dairy products, the sugars that included the bread and then the yeast. And
so what were you left eating besides grazing grass?
She said, well, kind of concentrate on most of your vegetables are okay. And she gave me a list of, you know, a few of them that weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And a good protein and, you know, some grains, but don't overdo it in the grain department.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say it was terribly exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, if you look at, again, you know, what are you putting into your body? What kind of fuel are you putting in there?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be putting in the stuff that's going to keep on exacerbating your symptoms, or are you going to cut it out?
Right, exactly.
And,
so,
you know, again, there I have. I've got two kids, and nobody would take care of me if I get sicker.
So what are some of the herbs that she suggested that you take? I mean, we have diet now. We have cleansing now. The addition of protein, for example, what did you have to add to your diet protein-wise?
I made a choice to go back and include some fish in my diet because I figure that was it's almost like a protein bullet,
yeah,
at least
yeah.
for me anyway.
It's good. Yeah.
I apparently was not getting enough good protein. And pretty much when I went vegetarian back in my teens, all I did was really substitute cheese.
For
really was about the worst choice I could have done.
Yeah.
You know, unbeknownst to myself at the time.
Well,
I was a lazy vegetarian, and I'll be perfectly honest with that.
Okay.
You know, you don't have to go on the fish or whatever for good protein. If you do it right, you can get, a vegetarian can get the proper amount of protein watching their diet, but you have to do your homework on that.
Okay,
but,
so what kind of herbs did she put you on?
Okay, a number of things. And what I want to preface this with is really realize, anybody out there who's listening, you have to realize that each of us is a unique individual, and what was working for me isn't going to work for everybody else. It's, herbs are not like medicine where, okay, you've got a headache and you take your Tylenol and your headache, it'll go away.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter who you are, if you take your Tylenol, more than likely your headache's going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very individualized type of situation. Yes, there's herbs and vitamins that are supportive of the immune system, for the nervous system, for the digestive, you know, for every system of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody is unique as to what they need. I mean, I can say these are the herbs that I took at the outset, and actually it was a whole long list of things, mm-hmm. herbal combinations, mm-hmm. vitamins, minerals, a lot of vitamin C,
mm-hmm.
Good, very, very good multivitamin.
Mm-hmm.
I had vitamin E.
Mm-hmm.
I had an herbal combination. It was called Target Endurance, and I'm going to make a plug for Nature Sunshine Herbs, because those were the herbs that Judy started me on. Those are the main ones that she
mm-hmm.
sold at her shop.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I knew nothing about them, so I figured, okay,
yeah.
You know, well, we have to start somewhere.
Right.
And so I bought them from her, and Target Endurance was a mineral. It's a lot of minerals that are chelated to an amino acid,
okay.
So it gets absorbed into the body a whole lot faster. So I was really deficient in, a lot of stuff, minerals and vitamins, and
yeah.
I was in a bad way. And I was still functioning. I was okay.
Well, the bottom
you know?
Line is, today, but, you don't have MS, do you?
No, I don't. I mean, it took me 2 years. I'll be honest. It took me two years to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say I was perfect all the time because,
mm-hmm.
you know, after a while, you know, your restricted diet gets really boring.
Well, that's
but,
true.
You know, and so you cheat every now and then.
Well, you know, moderation in all things, I think, is a
well,
very good motto.
Well, if you're healthy, that's
right.
an okay thing.
Right.
If you are not, you have to really, really be careful about
mm-hmm.
what you do put in your body
mm-hmm.
because the bad things are really going to affect you in a negative fashion, more so than if you're fairly healthy.
Well, that's very true. That's very true. But, you know, also, as I said, unless it's poisonous or you have a really terrible allergenic reaction to something, a little bit now and again.
No, it's not going to hurt
you. Completely out of the park. But it's called common sense, too, I think.
Of course. I mean, you know, now, this is, 13 years ago that
mm-hmm.
I finally, you know, got rid of all my symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I eat bread now. I do eat occasional goodies or baddies, however you want
mm-hmm.
to call it. The
you have little
thing.
Treats now and then.
Yeah. And so, but I do know when I've had too much, though I do my best not to have too much of any of that kind of stuff anyway.
Exactly.
But the body can tell.
Well,
know?
After a while, you become very used to your body talking to you. Most of us don't really, respect our bodies and the way that it reacts.
No. I mean, we're so busy doing our everyday thing that we don't really pay attention.
Well, you know, I don't remember being taught to listen to my body.
Never was.
And that wasn't just, you know, I was raised Catholic. But we were taught to mostly ignore our bodies because, you know, they were bad for us.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just the belief has been shifting and changing, and we need to realize this body is an exquisite instrument that
awesome.
We use to support the soul and the life in the body and the reason for being here.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was one of the neatest things that I learned. I can honestly say now that MS was probably both the worst and the best thing that ever happened to me because of all the neat stuff that I learned in getting over it.
Yeah,
you know,
I remember you telling you did a lot of research, and I wanted to move on to that because I think you had a spiritual awakening. Did you not? Remember you telling me about you learned about kinesiology and getting answers.
Yeah, muscle testing or kinesiology
right.
was one of the ways that Judy was able to say, okay, these are the things that are going to help you, and these are the things to stay away from.
Mm-hmm.
Muscle testing is pretty much just testing the energy in the body.
Right.
When the energy is strong, then we're generally healthy. If the energy goes weak, then we're not doing so well. And there's a way of testing foods, of herbs, and actually testing just about anything. And what you want to do is you want to put in yourself or surround yourself with things that are going to strengthen the energy of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And so she muscle tested me for, you know, everything that she felt would be helpful in supporting, you know, the digestive tract, the immune system, the nervous system to begin with.
Well, one of the things that I thought was so cute was really talking about kinesiology was the way you said that you muscle test. I remember we went to the beach one time with your kids. And you can use muscle testing on anything, folks. It doesn't have to be as serious as whether it's a proper food for you to eat or a job to get. They were deciding in this little gift shop what to get, and they stood straight up. Now, I mean, I've been with her sister when her sister does this, too. You're standing in the store, all of a sudden, you know, people sway over. Part of it is you stand straight, and you ask yourself if this is the right thing to do, if it's the right thing to buy, say, you fall forward?
You fall forward. Now, that's only if your polarity is right. That is if your north pole is up at the top of your head and the south pole is at the bottom of your head.
All right, folks, check and make sure you got your poles right, okay?
Exactly.
Maybe you can tell them how to do that, but I'm just saying, I was in the store, and all of a sudden I saw the whole group of them sort of sway forward. I thought, yes, the earth just tilted. And another time, they said, should I buy this? And they'd hold it in their hand, and they'd sway back. You know, and almost fall over. Can you imagine going in a grocery store and seeing a whole bunch of people holding something in their hands and just swaying back and forth?
Oh, I have done that. I mean, I was also testing, I think, cereal one time in the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
And I was holding this box of cereal, figuring, okay, is there too much sugar in this? Is this going to be helpful for me?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm swaying around, and there was a stock man, you know, further on down the aisle, and I could see him watching me. And, you know, he's getting ready to run. Is she going to faint? Or, you know, she's swaying all over the place. She's taking these boxes and she's swaying. Okay. I'm sure he just really wasn't quite sure what to do.
Well, this other time also, you had a spiritual awakening, and you found the way to get answers to questions. You went around asking questions for a couple of weeks, you know, you're testing
your
body.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, again, muscle testing is a cool way of of getting answers.
Well, share some of this.
Well, every morning I would get up and I would muscle test to find out which are the herbs and vitamins that I needed that day.
So how would you test?
And so, you know, I would do with the swaying method, either the forward or the backward. And after, you know, several months of doing this, and knowing that it was helping because I was feeling better, you know, little by little, I could start feeling that symptoms were disappearing. So I figured, okay, this was, at least something good was happening.
Mm-hmm.
There were some entertaining points of, you know, not feeling really great, but for the most part, I could tell that things were moving and grooving and things were getting better.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in my kitchen one day, just muscle testing for my herbs, and out of the blue comes this thought. It's like, okay, if I can muscle test for the herbs, and what you're doing is it's like yes or no. If I ask myself a yes or no question, if swaying forward is yes and swaying backward was no,
mm-hmm.
gee, you know, maybe I could start asking the other questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I got on this roll, and I'm standing there in front of my sink, and I started asking all kinds of stuff. And to this day, I don't remember exactly what I asked, but I started asking these questions that would require a yes or no answer. So the first day, it was like 2.5 hours. I'm standing there in front of my sink going back and forth and back and forth. Or if you sway side to side, it was like, I don't know, or a maybe. But I thought, oh, wow, this is so cool. And I mean, it was nothing really earth-shattering,
uh-huh.
but it was just, it was like a whole new world opened up, and I was getting answers to all kinds of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then I finally looked at the clock and I said, oh, my God, my youngest was in kindergarten at the time. I've got to go get my kid. So rush out, go get my kid. Anyway, the next day I, you know, did my breakfast thing, got the kids off to school, and, you know, they're muscle testing my herbs. And I thought, okay, so what else can I ask? Another 2 hours go by, and I'm sitting there muscle testing. And I must have done this every morning for about 2 or 2.5 weeks. I mean, it was just so fascinating. That it was like, oh, this is it. I was so excited that I was actually getting some answers. It was like, oh, wow, this is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then morning, mm-hmm. I'm sitting there or standing there, and I'm muscle testing. And instead of getting an answer like with a swing, I heard in my head, you know, like a couple words.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't an answer that I consciously knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, oh, God. You know, like you, born and raised Catholic.
Hearing voices, oh, boy.
You're hearing voices, and all of a sudden, you know, of course, you're thinking of, oh, my God, I've contacted the devil.
Right.
You know, we always think the worst, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, we're like that, you know.
Exactly. So I thought, oh, my God, And then I put a kind of like a caveat on this. And I said, all right, I want answers, but all I want is the truth. I want truth and light. I don't want any bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, God,
mm-hmm.
I don't know who I've contacted or what's going on mm-hmm. here, but all I want is truth with a capital T. You know, no negative stuff, no evil, no,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of this, anything I could think of was,
mm-hmm.
you know, nothing yucky. And so I started muscle testing again, and it's like, you know, Gene, we're still here.
Mm.
I'm like, oh, Lord. And all I heard, when I said, oh, Lord, it's like, yes. I thought, oh, no, you know, really, what is going on here? And so the next thing that occurred to me was years and years ago, I had started breaking away from Catholicism and started going into, it was like an Indian mysticism type of spiritual way of thinking. It wasn't really a religion. But one of the things that they had you do back then to be initiated was, it was like a meditative mantra, and they taught you five Indian words
mm-hmm.
that pretty much was supposed to elevate you, to get you to a higher astral plane or a higher
mm-hmm.
plane of thinking. And those words, I mean, I hadn't thought about these things for like 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that we were supposed to memorize and then burn the paper because nobody else was supposed to know it except for the people that were initiated.
Right.
So out of the blue came these five words. And I thought, okay, it was kind of like an exorcism. If there was any devil around, I was going to get the heck out of the devil's way.
Okay.
And so I started repeating these, you know, Indian words mm-hmm. over and over and over. And so, you know, I finally wind down and I stop. And all again, I hear, Gene, we're still here. Like, okay. So maybe I've contacted something of a higher intent.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I don't want anything negative. I don't
mm-hmm.
want the devil. I don't want evil. I don't want any of this,
mm-hmm.
you know, crap. All I want is truth and light.
Right.
And so what started was, instead of doing the swing and the muscle testing, whenever I would ask a question, I'd either get a verbal yes or no in my head.
Right.
And the thing is, you know, we have thoughts, but, you know, you're kind of hearing things
uh-huh.
in a thought, but this was different. And I don't even know if I could even describe
how
you knew it was
you
different.
Mean. I think many people have this experience and they aren't sure what it is.
Exactly.
It can be your higher self or an angel guide.
Mm-hmm.
It can be, it can be many forms, but it can be all of those. So
yeah.
I do understand. So
there for a moment, I'm thinking, oh gosh, they're going to come and wrap me up in those
little,
white jackets and haul me away. You know?
Yes, I know. And they have a padded cell with your name on it. No, it's
like, no, I know, no, I'm not going insane. I'm not going crazy. Please.
So the bottom
anyway,
line
so,
is what I'm hearing you say, and I know well, is that from healing yourself by the use of various modes, okay, diet, nutrition, herbs, you've done flower essences, you've worked with healing others, you have a client base, and you work with people, and the angel messaging.
Well, before we get into that, Phyllis, let me just say a little bit.
Okay.
What I learned is the more that you heal yourself,
mm-hmm.
and especially if you're actually getting down to the root of the problem,
mm-hmm.
you're clearing out a lot of negative energy in the body.
Right.
And once your body starts clearing out all the dis-ease, the body
yes.
is out of ease,
right.
the higher it starts vibrating.
Exactly.
And I figure, you know, these months of I was clearing out all kinds of crap, you know, colon cleansing
mm-hmm.
and other
all
things.
All that stuff, literally and figuratively.
Literally,
right.
getting rid of a lot of negative stuff, a lot
mm-hmm.
of...
Thoughts, habits, all that.
Exactly. So the body starts vibrating at a higher rate of speed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was at that point when I was starting to vibrate higher that I was able to connect with my higher self.
Right.
And I really found that the more that you do things that are going to energize your body more so, that you do feel lighter and lighter and you feel more energetic,
mm-hmm.
You feel more at ease,
mm-hmm.
more harmonious, and you do get kind of like a connection
mm-hmm.
With, you know, your higher self, the higher forces, whatever you want to call it, I don't know.
Well,
And there are certain things that are going to help you vibrate at a higher rate of speed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the flower essence is, I did do some flower essences. I did do some homeopathic.
Mm-hmm.
I kept on with the chiropractor, and the mm-hmm. chiropractor was just really way cool. He was really excited about the things that were, that I was doing and the changes that were occurring.
And he could see that too. You know?
He could see that. Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't imagination.
No.
Well, you know, the other thing that I find also is when you started healing your body, the other things that started healing too were probably your emotions.
Absolutely.
And your soul, higher. Because there is a distinct connection between the two.
Yes.
They say all illness starts in the soul, goes to the mind, and then ends up in the body.
That's and, my understanding is like, okay,
yeah.
In the spiritual aspect, when we are in spirit, we are in that unconditional love energy.
Mm-hmm.
When we decide to become physical beings, we have to become, we become depressed, you know,
mm-hmm.
quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
We slow down that vibrational rate in order to attain mass and matter.
Mm-hmm.
So all of us, I mean, at the get-go, we start out being depressed.
Right.
But we're actually vibrating at a lower rate of speed.
Mm-hmm.
And when we make that disconnection from spirit, we
mm-hmm.
also forget that we are actually spiritual beings. You know, we start out at this, as this little microscopic
mm-hmm.
whatever,
mm-hmm.
and we forget
mm-hmm.
that we are actually, you know, part of the God energy. And
yes.
in that forgetting, there's fear. It's
yes.
like, okay, we are disconnected now, and this is a whole new world. And
exactly.
we generally, I mean, it's natural instinct
mm-hmm.
to have fear of the unknown. And here we're starting out as these little babies. It's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, what is
in
going on here?
World.
Where am I? Who am I? Where am I? What in the heck am I doing here?
And this tiny bit of us is with us.
You know, you start out in kind of a fear mode, even
right.
if it's not conscious. But, and then every other negative emotion stems from fear. And what I learned is I was about like a year and a half into the physical aspect of healing, and I opened my herb cupboard one day, and I'm thinking, oh, God, if I have to take another doggone herb, I think I'm going to puke.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, Lord, I'm like 90-95% there. I said, but I just really feel like something's missing. I haven't a clue as to what, but you're going to have to help me out here because I don't know what's the next step.
Mm-hmm.
So about a week after that, my baby sister, a younger sister, comes, you know, to my rescue again. She says, Jane, guess what? I just got this, found this book. It's called Feelings Buried Alive, Never Die.
Wonderful book.
Yeah, absolutely. And she says, it talks about the negative feelings that we hold in the body and that eventually get the body out of ease, and it starts breaking down into physical.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've held these emotions in for so long
mm-hmm.
and not gotten rid of them, that it just wears and tears at the physical aspect.
Exactly.
Excuse me. And so she said, let me read you what it says about MS.
Mm-hmm.
And in the back of the book, there are lists of various illnesses
mm-hmm.
and the negative emotions that are held in that have to do with these particular diseases.
Mm-hmm.
And she read, there were five of them, and right off the bat, three of them I could really relate to. The other two, I don't really know if they
mm-hmm.
apply or not, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. And so she says, let me send you the book. So she sent me the book. I read it. I mean, I inhaled this book.
Mm-hmm.
I had to have been perfectly ready for it. But there again, it made a whole lot of sense that, you know, these things held in, and, you know, generally women share their emotions. And I read the book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And when Mr. Gray starts listing all the characteristics of males and all the characteristics of females, I'm thinking, hey, God, I'm the wrong gender. I know all the most of the things they listed for the men.
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
Uh-huh.
And the women, you know, I don't talk about my emotions. I don't go cry on other people's shoulders. I never did that.
Was it written by a man?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
anyway,
pretty much,
moving right along. No,
well,
we're coming down to the hour, so I needed to get some stuff going here, darling,
oh.
to talk about you, because doesn't the hour go by fast?
Oh, gosh, yes. I apologize. I'm not keeping track.
There's nothing to apologize for. What I want to do is encourage any of our listeners who want to call in and ask questions or to share their own story. Jeannie, I want you, before somebody does call, you know, give your name and the name of your company and the contact phone number or email, whichever it is you prefer, to be reached so that people can call and talk to you directly if they need to.
Okay. I'm Jeannie Page, and the name of my business is Wise Woman Consultants. And actually, God chose that name for me, and hopefully I live up to it.
Uh-huh.
And my telephone number is 703-370-3860. I have an office in Alexandria, Virginia. I see people on a, you know, an appointment basis. I can see them face-to-face,
uh-huh.
or I can do telephone consultations also. So,
okay.
Since I'm an intuitive, I can read you over the phone just as well as I can read you in the office.
Uh-huh.
If that phone number, if you can't get through on that phone number, try my cell phone number is 571-239-0784.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me give you those numbers again. It's 703-370-3860 or 571-239-0784. Most of the time, my hours I'm in Virginia, Alexandria, Virginia, are from 10 to 6, Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, I'm happy to take calls or do consultations either over the phone or in my office.
Oh, that's fabulous. Well, I need to let the viewers or listeners know, viewers. One of these days. People,
wrong media.
One of these days, it's going to be viewers.
Uh-huh.
Well, I've worked with Jeannie, as I said. I met her, and I went to her as a client originally. And the work that we did, and she was with me through a very rough period, one of the rougher periods of my life. And I have to say that with the herbal remedies, with the other things, the counseling that we went through, and with the great sense of humor that she does this, she is a marvelous healer. And I can't praise her enough. She's been a dear, dearly beloved friend as well, and she helps me. We get together every Wednesday, a small group of us, for meditation and prayer. And so we keep our spiritual aspects involved. Jeannie she's a very good intuitive. She's a good psychic as well. And she's been growing. As I've known her over the years, she's also grown, as we all do, because as we do kindnesses for others, so we grow more. But I would encourage anybody who's listening who would like to share or ask a question, please call in because we'd love to have you do so. It's something that we'd like to do. Well, if any subject that you'd like to talk is regarding health or healing. I also get something from Jeannie that I use too, which is Vitality Plus. And I use it and it's great for the joints.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it's a great tonic.
Hmm?
It's a great healing tonic. It's good
yes,
for all
is.
Kinds of different conditions. And
oh, yeah, and it's very good. I think it's got glucosamine and chondroitin and a few other things. But at any rate, I've gone to Jeannie with many questions, and, you know, she helps people to become empowered themselves. It's not a matter of becoming dependent on someone, but becoming independent.
What
and that book again was Feelings Buried Alive, Never Die, by Carol Truman.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I've read that book, too, according to Jeannie recommended it, and it's marvelous. But is there anything else you'd like to share? We've got about five more minutes.
Okay.
Actually,
yeah, we got it. Yes.
I can just interject. You can take as long as you want, because tonight there's no show following you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Well, would you like to chat a little bit longer?
I was just going to say that I do my best to help teach a person about themselves and what they can do for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like people being dependent on me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, trying to enlighten a person.
Mm-hmm.
God's always telling me, hey, Gene, don't take yourself so seriously. Lighten up.
Right.
And enlighten up.
Yes, and enlighten up. That's true.
We need a little bit of these enlightenment.
Uh-huh.
And so I try to enlighten people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we are, on the one hand, we're very simple. On the other hand, we're very complex.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get a really good understanding of this is the way the body works, and this is what you can do to help yourself,
mm-hmm.
it's not It's not that unknown. A lot of times when you go into the doctor, all you're doing is they're saying, okay, you've got this problem, take this medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't explain to you why or how you got to that position.
Exactly.
Or in that condition. Mm-hmm. All they're saying is, this is what you do, go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really have no clue as to what's going on.
Yeah.
So I do my best to try and teach a person, this is what's going on in the body.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you got there. Now, this is the root of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just going to throw herbs at you or vitamins at you to help with
product.
The symptom. We're getting to this is the root of the problem. Let's start with the root.
Mm-hmm.
That way, if we clear out the root, all the rest of the symptoms are going to start going away.
Yes.
But, you know, if you try and take an herb like you do a pharmaceutical drug, you're not really going to...
Like a painkiller, for example.
Exactly. You're not really going to get the results that you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different way of looking at her health and healing than taking drugs. And there again, I don't really want to diss the medical way of doing things.
Well, I don't think you are. I think what you're being is very candid about it, because it's medicine, as far as we can see, is symptomatic. Yes, they want to get to the root cause. See, so much of the illnesses, as we are beginning to find out, the root cause is in the emotions, the negative emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even, for example, anger can bring what? Stroke and heart attack. The raising, improper eating can bring about high blood pressure, you know,
mm-hmm.
too much salt, too much stress. I mean, they are, traditional medicine is coming around to the way of, well, the body is more than just a mechanical or organic or biological instrument that is a complete objective thing. There are many things that create who and what we are.
Correct.
And part of that is the spirit, which,
mm-hmm.
of course, in our belief system is from the source of God,
mm-hmm.
and forms the source of all there is. I do not push my belief on anyone else. But and then when we go into the emotional, now there's so much emotional stuff that happens around us from the time we're children, and going into, you know, former lives, you know, a lot of illnesses, as a hypnotherapist, and you do past life regression
mm-hmm.
work too, a lot of illnesses do come forward from past lives.
Oh, I've had some really neat cases where that is absolutely true.
Can you talk about a couple of these cases, some examples?
The first one I had, and this is actually when, I bill it as my on-the-job training. I was still working out of the home. I wasn't charging anybody for anything other than the herbs.
Mm-hmm.
But I was doing some energy work on a person. And the Chinese medicine teaches that, again, there's the negative emotions that are stored in the body. And there are certain places
mm-hmm.
in the body where they're stored, like the liver is generally the seat of anger, where we hold our anger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Our stomach is our seat of peace and tranquility, or lack thereof. You know,
mm-hmm.
where we're feeling, we're not digesting our life well or stomaching things, you know, that type of thing. So there's a lot of symbolism there. Our kidneys are where we store our fear
mm-hmm.
and, you know, things like that. Well, there's also the various chakra areas of the body, starting with the root chakra and then it goes up to the navel. But there's various energy systems there that we hold various issues.
Right.
So I was just doing some energy work on this lady, and all of a sudden, I get this picture in my head of somebody laying down in this big nest of black furry spiders.
Ooh.
And it looked like they were in a jungle, and I wanted to say it was Africa or something,
mm-hmm.
and I, you know, I've never been to Africa, so no idea what it looks like, but that's the thought that came to mind. Is that, you know, this person was laying flat down, you know, face down in this bed of black furry spiders and was traumatized because they were like huge spiders. And I'm thinking, okay, so what is this? So I said, okay, God, you know, what's going on here? Why am I seeing this picture in my head? And what I'm hearing is like, okay, tell her about it. And I thought, okay. So I told the lady, I said, you know, this is what I'm seeing. And she opens her eyes and looks at me, and she says, Jean, I am deathly, deathly afraid, hysterically afraid of spiders. And she said, to the best of my knowledge, there is absolutely no reason that I should be. I've never been bitten by one. Nobody's, you know, scare me with one. But she says, but even my parents will tell me, you know, from the moment they can remember, I have been deathly and hysterically afraid of spiders. She says, I can't even look at a picture of a spider without getting hysterical.
Uh-huh.
And I said, okay. All right, Lord, so what do we do with this? And I was like, okay, let's get rid of it. So we're kind of taking the concepts that we learn in, that I learned in the Feelings Very Alive book.
Is uh-huh.
Like you have something negative, and you ask the body to let it go, and you replace it with something more positive.
Uh-huh.
So that's what we did. I said, okay, if this was the past life memory that got stored in your DNA or wherever in the world it might have been stored, let's see if we can get it out of there. So we asked her body to let go of that lifetime, and there were a number of words that came into my head about letting go of feeling traumatized and fearful and just numerous negative emotions, feelings that came to mind. So I asked her body to let go of all of those, and I said, okay, let's replace them with something more positive, unconditional love, wisdom, knowledge, you know, just a whole smattering of various positive feelings.
Uh-huh.
And we thank the body for going through, you know, that experience because, you know, we go through all of our life or lives,
uh-huh.
not just for spite or for the heck of it.
Uh-huh.
there's various reasons why we have all of these life experiences.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, you thank the body for all of it. So we did. Anyway, she, you know, felt a whole lot better, and she got up and left. She called me about 2 days later, and she says, Jean, you're never going to believe this. I thought, okay, what? She says, I just got back from the dentist's office, and she says, I was in the waiting room, and I was waiting my turn, and on the table next to my chair was a National Geographic. And so she said, I just picked it up and randomly opened the book to a picture of, it was a two-page spread picture of this big black furry spider.
Mm.
Wow. She says, now, I have to admit that my heart was beating like crazy. It was in my mouth just about, ready to pop out. She says, but I sat there. She says, I turned the page, and there was a one-page picture of a spider. She says, I could feel my heart starting to slow back down. Turned the page again. It was only a half-page picture of a spider. And she says, by that time, my heart was kind of back, you know, where it was supposed to be, and beating almost normally. And she says, you know, I'm breathing. And she says, but I'm sitting there.
Uh-huh.
She says, I closed the book and gently put it back down on the table. And she said, on that same table was a vase with just a rosebud or some flower,
right.
You know, fresh flower in it. And she says, I just, you know, I leaned over to smell the flower. And she says, out of that flower came this itty-bitty little baby spider. She says, it looked at me, and I looked at it, and I was fine. And she says, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that before our session, I would have screamed at the top of my lungs, thrown that book down, ran out of the office, embarrassed the crap out of myself, never to be seen again. She says, I know that's how I would have reacted. She says, so I want to thank you.
Well, you know what's amazing? When you go through a healing process, what we call a confirmation comes thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
This is wonderful. Do you have any other stories?
Oh, several, actually. There was another lady that came to me. Actually, I think she came with the excuse to come in the office was that she had an ear problem or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember exactly, but something, you know, not real big, but whatever. So, you know, I'm sitting her down, and I'm starting to look at her eyes, you know, to read her eyes, too, because I do the iridology.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, this isn't what you're here for. This is not what we're supposed to be doing.
Okay.
And I'm looking at her, and all of a sudden, in my head, I see this picture again of, you know, not the jungle in Africa.
Right.
But what looked to be like a plantation of some sort, and the feeling I got was Jamaica.
Uh-huh.
And there was kind of like a ragtag band of black men that looked like they were slaves.
Uh-huh.
There must have been about 8 or 10 of them just kind of standing there. They were looking very angry.
Uh-huh.
And then facing them was a man that was kind of on the portly side. He had this brown kind of a suit of sorts,
uh-huh.
Something indicative of the time, a couple hundred years ago.
Uh-huh.
He was partially balding, and there was another man on a horse behind him that looked to me like maybe an overseer of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And, but anyway, so this man in the brown suit was confronting this band of men. And, you could tell it was a confrontational situation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of a sudden, one of the men, one of the black men, all of a sudden raised his hand. He had a sharp object. It was some kind of like a handmade, weapon of some sort, but it was sharp. And what he did is he lunged forward to the guy in the brown suit and just jabbed him in the chest. And it was like right in the middle, you know, of the breast area, you know, just right smack dab in the middle of his chest.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't kill the man, but you could tell it really put a hurting on him.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, and that's all I saw. And so I'm thinking, okay, I'm getting this picture.
Because.
I said, it looks like this is probably a past life memory of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this is what I'm seeing. And so I described it to her. And she said, this is very interesting, Jean, because, you know, for the longest time, I've had this pain in the middle of my chest.
Mm.
And I have had every doctor and every test known to man. I've gone from, she couldn't even remember how many different doctors,
mm-hmm.
the types of doctors she's had, and gazillion tests and x-rays and blood tests and you name it, she had it.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody could ever figure out why or where this pain is coming from. There was absolutely no reason
mm-hmm.
for that pain to be there. And everybody just kind of threw up their hands. She says, I mean, it wasn't horrible. She says, but it's a pain that's, it was constantly
unexplained.
There. And I said, okay, well, so if this was a past life thing, you know, this is what we can do.
Okay.
You know, so we went through the process of letting it go and replacing it with more positive things.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we were done, that pain disappeared.
Amazing.
Now we did talk about what she did come in there for and gave her, made her some herbal suggestions
mm-hmm.
and whatnot. But I saw her again about 6 months later. And I said, hey, you know, how's the chest? And she kind of looked at me. She said, oh gosh, that's gone. I mean, she said, since that day in your office, it's never come back.
Wow.
She says, it was just amazing.
Yeah.
So those are probably my two most dramatic.
Yeah,
I mean, I've had various other instances of things happening with people and whatnot, but
mm-hmm.
those probably are my two most dramatic cases.
Well, you know, this is what it's all about, is helping others and using the gifts that we get. And healing yourself, you've become a healer
mm-hmm.
for others.
And let me tell you, I had no clue. I had no earthly thought that this is what I would be doing as a career. I mainly just set out to help myself. You know, I had to get well. I've got two kids and a husband. being ill or being terminally ill or bedridden or something, that was not an option.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't go that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had motivation in trying to do something.
Well,
and
awesome.
In the learning process of healing myself, I learned all kinds of fun stuff.
Well, you've also become a psychic and intuitive, if you call it.
Mm-hmm. I may have been a closet one all my life and never knew it.
I think most people are, because I think everyone is born with the gift.
Yeah, we're all intuitive to a certain extent. You know, we have our gut instincts and things like that, but we don't really pay much attention. And then I know being born and raised a Catholic, they definitely don't encourage that kind of stuff, you know, because
exactly.
God forbid, you should be able to talk to God without going through a priest,
right.
You know?
Right, and, you know, and also you can be led astray so quickly, and
mm-hmm.
so the fear is there. But, you know, I'm hoping the church is coming around more. I would like to see it so. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit are there for everyone to use.
Certainly.
And it's just a matter of choosing to use them instead of abusing them. And, of course, I think what we find is if you abuse them, then you do damage to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like anything else. Wisely used, it is beneficial to others. And
well, you know,
others.
We're taught that it is the temple of the Lord.
Right.
So how well are we respecting this temple of the Lord?
Exactly.
You know?
And that's why respecting the body is so very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the greatest temple that was ever raised.
Right.
And most people don't consider their bodies a temple.
Well, you know, it's written that we are all created in God's image and likeness.
Right.
And if we are truly created in God's image and likeness, then we are part of that God energy. We are God, mm-hmm. with, and this is not trying to be sacrilegious or,
no.
you know, arrogant or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the truth of who we are is that God energy.
Exactly.
And the truth, you know, in our hearts know that we are those perfect beings of God.
Mm-hmm.
Being here on the earth plane,
mm-hmm.
we are experiencing less than godliness.
Less than perfect wisdom.
Yeah.
Which is part of what we're here for, is
yeah,
to learn
but,
to
know,
bring ourselves back to that perfection.
Yeah, well, we're here to play and have
yeah.
fun. I mean, that's what God keeps telling me. Gene, you're here to have a life experience. You're here to play and have fun. It's all up to you.
Right.
You know, I'm going to love you no matter what it is that you do.
Exactly.
So have at it, you know. but realize that, you know, if you get away from it too much,
right.
you're going to experience, you know, some not so fun things.
But
you have control over that.
Yes.
You know, as you think, say, and do, you are creating your world. Because,
each and every day.
Uh-huh. This is, you know, seventh grade science class, what we're taught is that everything in all of creation is energy.
Exactly.
You know, what you're thinking is creating mm-hmm. creating a thought. You know, it's creating an energy. What you think, say, and you're doing. You're creating your world around you with every thought that you think.
Precisely.
So we are powerful, powerful beings.
Absolutely. We really recreate ourselves every day.
Mm-hmm.
And our body, every 7 years, I believe, I've said this before. Well, science has proved it.
We've
created every single cell of our body. By the end of 7 years, you're a totally new human being.
Right.
And what
that's
we do,
almost scary, isn't it?
Isn't it? What we do during that seven-year cycle, if we really put our mind to it, just think how wonderful it would be, and the things that we could create, the things that we could achieve if
mm-hmm.
we all concentrated on recreating to the highest good.
And what
well,
it does is take some concentration and being aware,
mm-hmm.
because most of us, you know, I had a friend one time said, you know, it's amazing how many unconscious people there are walking the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to agree with her. I said, you know, for the first 39 years of my life, I can agree with that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I was just as unconscious as everybody else.
Well,
and
I
so
believe
you start
also,
kinda,
yes, that what we're here to do and what this radio show is here to do is to help people wake up, to
mm-hmm.
help people come into the light of their own enlightenment and their own awareness.
And let me tell you, it's a fascinating world once you start really, really learning what all is going on.
It's a never-ending story
uh-huh.
because you're led from level to level and from place to place. And as you ask for things, they're given to you. Jeannie and I and a few others are working on manifestation. That's one of our tasks we set ourselves. And we're putting our energy into that to manifest good. And, you know, it comes about in our life in the service to others. And that, too, I stress. I think Edgar Casey used to say, it's not enough to be good. You've got to be good for something. You know?
Oh, sure.
You know? It's no fun just being good for yourself. It's very important to be good for others.
Uh-huh.
And I think as we give of ourselves each and every day, we grow. Anyway, I feel that you've come to, I think, a place where we could halt for today.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have some other insights to give, I am so grateful for your spending the time with me and to share.
Well, thank you for letting me ramble.
Oh,
I mean, I didn't realize I rambled for so long.
You know, when you have something to say, it's important.
Mm-hmm.
I'm was hoping that we could have some people, last time we had people call in and share some of their stories, and I was hoping some people would call and talk with us again today and share some of their healing stories and what they may have found. But that's okay. It's all right to listen to. But we hope that this show has been a one of enlightenment for you and given some thought. Next week I'm going to have on Mary Ellen, who is known as the Angel Scribe, and she has an angel newsletter that goes out, and she works with others on the angel healing prayer list, which goes out. I belong to that also. I work on whenever we get the prayer list, we pray for others, and there's some miraculous stories that come through. I hope some of you will be interested in talking to Jeannie. She's an absolutely wonderful person, and she's a very dear, dear, special friend to me. We're going to be talking in the future with a few other people, And maybe Jeannie will come back and talk with us sometime. I'd love to have you.
Okay. Hopefully we can take more questions or questions, period.
Yes, questions.
And I won't ramble quite
so much.
Or
you can call in or, you know, use the chat room on the BBS radio, which we are speaking over as on the internet. I am a psychic and a hypnotherapist, and I do Jun Shinjutsu, so I do healing. I also do dowsing energy. I'm also a non-denominational minister, by the way.
And same here.
So,
Phyllis is very good, too, let me tell you.
I can be contacted at area code 202-387-2080. And my website is cpr433-9313@aol.com. I look forward to talking to you again. And, Don, I'm handing it back to you. Thank you so very much for the radio show.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.